Bags down, spikes on. Welcome to the track. Hi, my name is Colin Waitzman, and I am your host for this episode of Track World News, presented by Track Barn. And today is part two of our NCAA championship preview. If you missed it, we did this exact same thing indoors. So with much of the same crew, Matt's joining us again, and we're going to get started here with this. Before we go any further, I want to give a huge shout out to the sponsor of today's video, Manscaped. As track athletes, we're going to be running tons of miles every week and can be really sweaty and gross after a hard day of practice, but those days are behind us. Manscaped just sent me their brand new performance package, which comes with the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all your goodies. Look, I've tried a lot of razors in my day, but the Lawnmower 4.0 is just different. Its ceramic blade helps reduce grooming accidents, LED light allows you to shave anytime, anywhere, and since it's waterproof, you can even take it in the shower if you want. When shopping with Manscaped, use code TWN at checkout to get 20% off your entire order, plus free shipping worldwide. Show up to your next meet looking good. If you want to be the best, you gotta look the best. Link is in the description. And now, back to the video. Sprints. So Matt, he's part of MJP TV. You probably saw him everywhere for Prefontaine Classic. Matt, how you doing, man?
Man, doing good. Feels good to be back home in Houston. But let's talk about NCAAs. I'm ready to go.
All right, let's get it going. Hopefully our picks are a little bit better than indoors. I know we did all right in some spaces, a little off other places. Let's start with the men's 100. Okay. So for me, the winner is easy, or at least it should be. Mekhi Williams is who I got coming out with the win. In second, I got Ishmael Cohn of New Orleans coming in second.
You best!
And then third, I got...
That was my sleeper. Go to your third pick. Go to your third pick.
Yeah, third, I got Favor Ash.
Oh, brother. You stole my whole list. I was like, oh, I got him on this one. He's going to say Terrence Jones or Fumble. I was like, oh, I got him. He don't know about Ishmael.
Man. Oh, of course you know about him.
So I actually met Ishmael at Texas Relays, and that was the first time I really found out about him because he did really, really well in the prelims. He didn't end up winning the final. But he's just one of those guys where he had that stumble and still came back, to win the East prelims? So you're talking about a guy with tons of speed reserve. I think he PR'd 9.93 or 4 with a little bit of wind at his conference championships. Here, actually, he's gone 9.79, which no one's done. Of course, it was wind-aided. But him being a freshman and just that clip of him said, you know, that's good.
Yeah,
you know he's on demon time, so it's going to be a toss up between those two. I think that's going to be the closest race. I think Fombele will probably come home for fourth, but that's how I see it shaded.
Yeah, like Favor, what his nickname? He's got the craziest nickname, the Nigerian Nightmare. Man, I ain't messing around with that.
You know, it's Nigerians don't play. I'm only a third Nigerian, but we don't play, man.
Yeah, man, he's crazy. But yeah, so first, Mekhi Williams. I mean, this is race to lose. I feel like the only reason he doesn't win this is if he gets in the way of himself, like something happened at indoors, where indoors he unfortunately false starts in the prelims. For me, that's really the only reason I see him not winning, because he ran 2.98s this year. One of it being wind aided, but 2.98s. He made the Olympic team in the 4x1 last year. He's just been insanely consistent around like sub 10, and he dropped the 200, so he's only focusing on the 100. I don't see him losing really. And Ishmael, like for him, it's like he's kind of like the Melissa Jefferson, I feel, of this, like of indoors last year, where not many people knew of your name. Like you kind of went under the radar, and then you really outdoors started to make a name for yourself a little bit, but still not a lot of people are talking about you because you're from a much smaller school than all of these other power fives. Yeah. And with Favor, I mean, even though it was wind dated, when you're running 9.79s, like that's still crazy. Like your body still has to run that at the end of the day.
Oh yeah, because someone else had that same wind and they didn't run 9.79. They just went 10. Nope. So
yeah,
I think the winning time is going to be 9.82 from Makai. I think Ismael will come in second. It'll be a blowout by Makai. Ismael will come in second. I think he'll go 9.92. Then Faber will be right there, like 9.93. It's going to be really tight for second and third place.
Yeah, I feel
that. And I think Fombele will break. He might break 10. He might go 9.9. We'll see.
Yeah. Because, like, with him, like, if Fombele, I mean, you know, there's the running joke of just the start hasn't been fantastic. But if he can, like, if he catches one, if he's in the race with, screw it, 30 meters to go, man, he's over. Coming back. He's running you down. So you gotta blow out Fombele because you know he's coming for you. What about the 200? What did you have going on there?
Okay, so for the men's 200, I think the winner, like you said, is going to be pretty straightforward. I've got Joseph Fombele. Next in second place, I'm going to go with Devontae Harding. And then in third place, I'm actually going to go with Courtney Lindsey. And so I think Fombele is far and away going to be head and shoulders above everyone. There's a couple notable names that are left off here. Lance Lang, I think he's not had the outdoor season he's really wanted. Matthew Bowling, he's going to be tied up with too many events to really place top three. I don't even have my boy Sean making the final for the 200 this year. Sean really hasn't been rounding into form. And then I just think Courtney Lindsey, he ran a windy 1988. Let's keep that in the back of our minds. So you give him some decent wins, and they're a junior at Texas Tech, so they've been experienced. I think they'll come through with a medal.
Yeah, so we're pretty close with what we have. So I have Fombele coming in first in the 200. Second, I have Javonte Harding. Obviously, he was the indoor champion in the 200 this indoor season. Third, I have Matthew Bowling coming in third because he's doing a lot of events. He's proven that he can do a lot, but he's still doing less than he would normally do. Because normally, like, he does the 100, the 200, the 4x4, and long jump. He's not doing long jump this year. He's only doing the 200, the 100, and the 4x4. Or maybe the 4x4, whatever, one of the relays. So he's doing less. And so I think since he's been doing so much so often, like, and when you're taking one of those events away, like, I think you're going to end up doing pretty well. Because remember, like, he came off the 60 on indoors. He long jumped and then went to the 60 and then long jumped again. So it's like he's used to doing all of this stuff. He'd be a great decathlete. And so I think he's going to do that. Plus, he did beat Fombele at SECs in the 200, right? Or was that was him, right? Matthew Bowling? Or was that... It wasn't no favor asked. No favor came in. He did the double. I'm sorry. No favor did the double in the one and the two. So, I mean, I should be giving some kudos to him. But yeah, Matthew Bowling, also his 9.98 that he has. Like, so he does have sub 10 speed. I think he's got a chance to get third here.
Okay. And then any notable upsets or anything you see going through the rounds?
Potentially someone that I have as an eye to look out for that not many people talk about is Dorian Camel of LSU. He ran 10.0, unfortunately got bounced out at East prelims, but he's only focusing in on the 200 and the 4x1 this year. So I think he's someone that we can look out for to put some damage in, as well as Stanford Udodi. I know I'm butchering that. I think he's got to be someone to really look out for. He's going under the radar as well. But yeah.
Now, do you think him as a freshman, he's going to perform well? I know freshman, it's kind of hard because it's like, okay, this is your first NCAAs.
Yeah. I think he can do it, like, because we've had national champions as freshmen before. I mean, didn't Matthew Bowling win his national championship as a freshman indoors?
No, that was Tobin. So he Tobin? Was. He was, okay. Yeah, because remember, 2019 heading into 2020 was his true freshman year. Tobin hit, yeah. And then. The year after, well, he was redshirt.
So he's still a technical redshirt freshman, but so like I think he can do it. Like coming in, placing there and not having as much pressure, and he's been running pretty fast this year. But what about you? Any potential upsets or people to look out for?
So I'm looking at the performance list right now. I really don't see anyone outside of that. Sadly, you know, I wish Ismael was a little faster than 200. I'd pick him there, but it doesn't look like he's going to be able to make it through. You know, if Sean pulls it out, then I will have to commend him and Coach Carl and Coach Morrell, because, you know, I've been, and Sean's even said he hasn't had, you know, his best performances this year. So if he's able to make the final, I think that would be a very good step, because I think for him, this might ultimately help him get to the world's team, but, you know, keep an eye out for Sean. We'll see.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah, you can't, because he came in second in the 100 last year, right?
Mm-hmm. Second in the 100 and third in the 200.
In the two. Cool. Next, let's go on over to the 400 here. So for me, another runaway, it's Randolph Ross. I have winning this. I mean, this dude, he's trying to go sub 44. He's not trying to just win. He's trying to break records. So I'm like, his eye is really focused in on the world team, not really NCAAs, but he knows he has to kind of do NCAAs. Next, I got Jonathan Jones. After he split his 43 in the 4x4 last week or 2 weeks ago, he also has that 800 meter strength, so that's going to help him push it through. And then I got Elijah Godwin coming in third out of Georgia. He has not gotten top three at an NCAA championship, even though he's like one of those guys that, you know, has been pretty well known in the NCAA. He still has never placed top three. So I think this is going to be where he's going to be able to do that.
Okay. So I have a very similar list. I have Randolph Ross leading things off. I think the winning time, I think he's going to save his body a little bit. He'll do what he needs to win, but I don't think he's actually going to go out there and run 43, because you saw what happened last year. He went 43, made the team in trials, but then he got to the Olympics and he was burnt out at that point, right? So I think he'll do enough to win, because I don't think anybody's even going to come close to him strength-wise and speed-wise in this 400. Jonathan Jones coming in second. He's not going to be running the 800 meters, so I think he'll be clear to fly. I think he'll push Randolph Ross to 300, but then Randolph will put him to bed in those last 100 meters. And I thought about doing Elijah Godwin, but there's a guy down in Florida. He's from where? Houston, Texas. Champion Allison. Champion. And he beat Elijah at SEC Championships in the 400. I have him coming in third. And it's literally in his name, Champion. He shows up when it's time for championships. But I definitely think Coach Holloway is going to have him firing on all cylinders. He's an all-world talent. He was in the same class as me, the 2017 class. So I know what he can do. Champion Allison will definitely come in third.
Man, like, it can. I got hope for my man Elijah. Like, I feel he's got.
I think he's actually doing very well.
Yeah.
Like, but you know, he hasn't done it yet. I don't think he'll do it this time. But we'll see when we get to the trials. I think Champion just has his number right now, so we'll see.
Let's go over to the 110s. Unfortunately, this I think is another blowout that we're gonna be seeing. Trey Cunningham. You go. Well, we already know who one was anyway.
Trey Cunningham. As long as he doesn't hit any hurdles and he doesn't press too hard past hurdle three and hurdle four, he's going to win with his eyes closed. Now, things get a little interesting here. Not really, but Joshua Zeller. I'm just gonna go really straight down the list, because I think his season has been really, really good. He has one of the best PRs in the field, 13:39 at the prelims. And then I'm going to go with Eric Edwards. He did PR back at Texas Reloads, 13:02, I think. Yes, so, and so he used to be an Oregon athlete. So he showed up last year, won a national championship with LSU. Now it's his time to medal in an individual event in the hurdles. And so he's very comfortable with Eugene. He knows what goes on there. I think he'll perform well.
Yeah, I got Trey Cunningham one. Like you said, I think when it comes to biggest favorites in events, I think Trey Cunningham is the biggest favorite in all of the NCAA championships this year.
Hands down.
Oh, yeah, that the only other person maybe rivaling would be Jasmine Moore in the triple, or maybe Anna Hall in the heptathlon. Other than that, it's this.
Well,
the
I'll
most.
Come with five, I don't think anyone's touching five.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's a sure thing. For two, I got Eric Edwards coming in second. And then third, I have Joshua Zeller. I got Eric Edwards because I think he's due to have a big championship. Like, he hasn't performed to his best at national championships yet, whether it's DNFs or whether it's just poor placements or falling over hurt. Like, he hasn't been able to put together his all-time race yet. And so I think going into what is his last NCAA championship, I think he wants to put that together. Like, he's had a very solid year this year. And I think going into outdoors, he's going to be realizing that. Joshua Zeller, he's coming in with a 13.19. He runs well in bad weather. I mean, you're from Michigan. You're running in the north a lot, and being able to run when it's crappy weather, knowing that it can very well happen in Eugene, you know, it being windy, rainy, disgusting, you know, that bodes well for you. And he also hasn't performed very well at nationals yet. Like, these are two guys that are coming in, you know, wanting to make a name for themselves on the national level, and I feel that they're going to be able to do that.
Yeah, you see any upsets in this field? I could be a homer, go with Pavel, but we'll see. I think he's had a very solid season. I don't really see anyone on this list that really jumps out. It's like, hey, I'm going to stamp myself. But that's the thing about the hurdles. All it takes is one mess up. We could have a totally different final. So we'll see. I don't see names that are popping right now, but you never know what happens.
Exactly. Next, let's take a look at 400 hurdles. I've got winning Sean Burrell. Number two, oh, wow. I have Nathan Ezekiel in two. And then third, that's of Baylor. And then Quivel Jordan Bacot of Houston coming in third. What about you?
Okay, so I don't have Sean Burrell winning. I don't even have him meddling. This hasn't been a great season for him. But here's who I do have. The guy you have in second, Nathaniel Ezekiel, PR 48.5. He's going to come with that hot fire. I saw this dude at Texas Relays. He's the real deal. Like, I don't think anyone in this field right now is going to touch him if he executes. I know he's a freshman, but I think he's going to have a very strong showing at NCAAs. I have Quivel, Jordan Bacot out of Houston, another guy, Houston. But I have him coming in second, and I actually have Malik Mativer from Texas Tech coming in third. I don't think Sean is going to have the bounce back that you think he is. I'd love to hear why you have him winning.
Yeah, I got Sean Burrell coming in with a big bounce back because he hasn't had such a great year this year. Like, he hasn't had the season that he had last year. But we know that he performs well at nationals, like at the bigger at the big meet, like at NCAAs. Like, he was performing at his best last year, and that's where he dropped his crazy time. He had, outside of West prelims, he hadn't ran sub 50 before he dropped his 48 or whatever it was. Like, he hadn't been in the 50s. He was running 50s and 51s, and so his year was relatively pedestrian. And so, yeah, coming into it, he's not probably running at his standards, but I think since he has that championship experience, that's going to bring him through. Because once again, like with Nathan, like he's a freshman as well. I mean, one thing that does bode well for him is the fact that he's ran under 50 five out of six meets in a row this season. So he does have some good experience with that. But like, I feel just the experience of that Sam brings of like, I've underperformed, but I'm going to show up during the championship. Like, that's just the way that I'm seeing it for him.
Okay. And for me, I just think it's going to play out a little bit differently. There's a lot of competition here, like Caleb Kavanaugh, Charles Brockman. Like, Sean is all the way down in 15th on the performance list. If he pulls this off, it'll be one of the best comebacks of the year. But I just don't see it happening right now. You know, I trust Sean to come back stronger next year. But, you know, just based off his history this year, I don't see it.
It's the biggest upset that I'm picking. Like, on paper, this is the biggest one. I mean, but remember, indoors, Melissa Jefferson, she was at that 15th rank, and she won a national championship, too. So anything can happen.
Really. Anything can. Yes, this is track and field.
Especially in the hurdles, even though it's a lot, the long hurdles.
Definitely.
Now, 4x1. What do you got? Sir.
So, coming in first place, Florida. I think they're far and away the best team in the country. You know, Dedrick Vanover, you know, his mom follows me on IG. Shout out to Mrs. Vanover. And, you know, really after Texas Relays, they showed me something. Like, this team is stacked. And they haven't really had to run their true A team and pull out their full potential since then. So, they're seventh on the performance list right now. but I think they're far on the way going to be the champions. Next, I'm a hometown that we dropped the stick last year. We better come in second this year. I'm going with Houston. It's going to be a dogfight for second and third. And I have Florida State coming in third. Javon Martin, we know what he represents. PR 994. And there are a lot of great runners. Taylor Banks, Yandere Swift, Amir Willis. I think they're going to perform well.
Yeah, we're pretty close there. I got Florida bringing home the win. Once again, like, I think they're the best team out here, having, you know, Fombele on that team. You know, that's going to be great for them. I got Houston coming in second. Y'all better not drop the baton and make me look like an idiot again, because I'm tired of that. Like, man. So I got them in second. Then I had Tennessee pulling through in third. I know it's going to be a little interesting, because I know their coaching situation has been in a little bit of flux, and, you know, having that at the national championship isn't great, but I think they're going to be able to bring home the win, because really they're all of these like PRs and season bests in the 4x1 is so freaking close. Like, and when it's a hurdle, when it's a handoff, like literally the littlest of things, you can have a team that's down, you know, the last freaking seed almost be able to come through and medal because, you know, just crazy stuff happens. So that's kind of what I have. One thing that was interesting, Texas Tech doesn't look that they're running Terrence Jones. Did you see that?
Wow. Yeah. They have Adam Clayton, Courtney Lindsley, my guy, Ashton O'Connor, Houston, Texas, Wings Track Club represent. And then Jacoby Shelton. So now that you said that,
yeah, boy,
we might. I'll see. Now I'll hold my tongue. I'll wait till the day of. I might say something crazy.
Nah, say it. Let's hear it. What you got?
So I think there's gonna be some craziness, and I know my boy Ashton O'Connor is a crackhead. I might pick Texas Tech to get third place. I actually might, just because I'm a homer. I gotta go with my boy Ashton. I gotta ride with him.
Even they don't have Terrence Jones.
Doesn't matter.
Number two.
Doesn't matter. Okay. He'll show up at the last minute like Paul Pierce. They're gonna roll him out of the wheelchair. He's gonna be ready to go.
We'll see. Next, 4x4. So I have got Florida in first, Kentucky coming in second, and then North Carolina A&T rolling out three. So this is pretty much exactly what I picked indoors, but I'm thinking they'll be able to run it back outdoors. What about you?
Okay, somewhat similar. So I have Florida coming in first. I don't think anyone's going to touch them. I have Texas coming in second. Texas has number one seed. Jonathan Jones, Brian Heron, these are guys well to the right. John Moss, like they're going to show up. I think Texas is going to have a very strong outing. Flo knows, man, Coach Flo knows. And then I have Kentucky actually coming in third. And so I think Kentucky, they have a large stable of sprinters to pick from. So say even if someone, you know, isn't filled up to it, they can just throw someone else on there. So they're versatile in that sense. I don't know if they have the peak top end talent, but that's my order: Florida, Texas, Kentucky.
Yeah, I can see Texas too, like, because this is going to – I'm interested to see if this is going to have team implications, because I know one thing we mentioned a lot indoors was what are the team implications? So if it's close between Texas and Georgia, per se, like, then I feel Texas is going to blow them out the water. But if Texas is leading by a lot, you know, we saw the Florida women do it where they roll out pretty much their B team, and, you know, it just doesn't matter too much. So I think it depends a lot on where this is in the relay. Will depend on, you know, what it is that we're going to see. And North Carolina A&T, they ran a 301.59 without Randolph Ross, season's best at the prelim. So if you can run that without the number one guy in the country on, like, you know, with the stick, I think that gives you a chance, an outside chance, to be able to get home third.
Yeah, I think the winning time, Florida, they'll win again in 258. I think Texas will come in with a 258 high, maybe 259 low. And then I'll pick Kentucky. They might go sub three as well. It'll be close.
Three sub threes. Three for three.
All right. I think this year in the NCAA has been pretty crazy. And we'll see this where someone won't have a great PR in the 400 or even the 400 hurdles. Well, they'll go out there, they'll split like 48 for the women, they'll split 43 out of nowhere for the guys. I mean, look at Ahmad Robinson last year. His PR was like 45, dropped 6 or 7. And then dropped like 43.6 on a 4x4. So you never know what can happen. You know, if one of these kids pops, it could actually be a race with Florida.
Mm-hmm. All right, next. I think this might be one of the more controversial events that we're going to have. Let's hear what you got, because
all right,
it's going to be good. Women's 100.
I go with my Sunbelt girl, Melissa Jefferson. She's coming through with the dub. I think she's actually going to drop something crazy. I think she's going to drop a 1080 wind leaf. I think that's going to be the winning time. 1080. Next, okay. Julian Alfred coming in second. I think she'll run close because she's run 1080 slightly wind aided. I think she'll come through in second and probably like 1084. And then I'm going to go Abby Steiner. She'll come in third with 1085. I have Faber Ophelia coming in fourth because I think those two are going to be focused on their battle in the 200. And I just think Melissa Jefferson is having a Cinderella season. So I've got her winning again in the 100.
All right. I don't like how you just disrespected Faber Ophelia right there. Disrespect. Fourth place?
Four. Read my lips.
No.
F-O-R-T-H.
Four. No shot. This is what's going to happen. All right? This is what the women's 100 is going to happen. Gold medal, Faber Ophelia.
Woo!
Silver medal, Melissa Jefferson.
Mm.
Bronze medal, Kemba Nelson.
That's Kemba? What
yes.
Sir. Kemba. Sir, I know she's at home. But Kemba will make the final. This hasn't been her best season. Like, all right, I want to know your Kemba pick. Give me your Kemba pick. Why?
Why? Well, she's been actually running better this year. Like, she had a poor indoor season to her standards, and she's been turning it up throughout the entire outdoor year. She ran a 1085 with 2.5 wind or whatever it was. Like, so not that much. Not just over the legal limit. She set a PR in the 200s at Pac-12s just 2 weeks ago. And we know she has speed because she won the 60 in 2021. So I'm thinking she's going to be making a big bounce back year. She's at home. She's going to be staying at her own freaking apartment. Doesn't have to move at all versus all these other people that are going to have to be moving around. And she's focusing in on the 100 and the 110 and the 100 and the 4x1. And that's it. So she's going to win because she knows she has to win. Like, she knows she has to be on that medal stand. I think Abby Steiner is going to be close, but like these are women like Melissa Jefferson. She's definitely going to be up there. But I just see Faber Ophelia just being able to go like, no, this is my year. Y'all been counting me out too dang much. I'm coming out here and I'm getting the win. That's why.
I think she had her day in the sun at SECs, pulling off that double. And I think really the 200 is her strongest event. I just think in the 100, it's going to be so close, man. I just think Melissa is going to pull it out. I think Abby just has, we saw that gear that she has at LSU. And I know Faber has it as well, but I just think Abby is just that much more, like she's half a step quicker, just half a step at her best. I don't know if she'll be at her best, but at her best. And Julian Alfred, man, she just went 1080. Just did.
I know.
So, yeah. And that's just above the legal limit. So, Kemba, I don't see the Kemba pick. I think Kemba might come in fourth or fifth, but Kemba's the one I give you a little pushback.
I don't have Julian Alfred up there because while her PR is great, she has not proven to do extraordinarily well throughout the rounds. Like, she has shown, like, she does very well in prelims and during individual open events. But, you know, at indoors, she drops the national record in the 60 in the prelim and then comes in fifth in the final. And during, what, Big 12, she drops the 1080 in the prelim and then comes in second to her teammate in the final. So, like, she's shown that she does very well in the beginning of the races, but I haven't seen it yet in the final, which is why I can't put her up there at this point.
Understand that. I just think she'll pull it out. I think she'll be frustrated that she's like, man, I have the performance. So we'll see. I think Coach Flo is going to have his entire team ready to go because they're gearing up, you know, to win another national championship on the boys' side, and the women can challenge as well. So I definitely think she'll bounce back from those meetings.
200 women. Who do you got?
Okay, so this might come as a surprise to some people, maybe not to others. Abby Steiner, first place. Faber Ofili second. It's going to be a dogfight. I think the national record will get broken in this race. I think it's going to be a photo finish. This might be the best race of these NCAA championships. And then I have Candy Flannel coming in third. She has a PR of 22:30. She is the closest one out of anyone in the rest of the seeds to the front two, but those front two, they're going to be ahead by at least 5 meters from the entire time.
Yeah, number one, I got Faber Ofili doing the double. She's winning the one, okay. She's winning the two. Abby Steiner in second, and then Anavia Battle I have coming in third. Like you said, I think the top two is decided. It's just who's going to win it there. And just looking at how the trends have been, Abby had Faber's number in indoors, and I think Faber is going to has so far had Abby's number in outdoors. So I think that trend is going to continue, especially that Abby is doing more events than Ophelia. So I think that they're going to be feeling that. She's going to be, feeling like, oh, snap, I got to get ready for all of the other events I'm going to be having later. And then Anavia Battle, 22:38. She's had her season's best at the East Prelims, which is really good. And she also came third in indoors, and she came in third at outdoors last year. So she knows what it takes to be able to medal.
I'm not mad at any of those picks.
Cool. Next, let's head it on over to the 400 meter women. So
this is gonna be interesting.
Let's see. We might have some disagreements here. Gold, I got Talitha Diggs out of Florida. Silver, I have Cherokee Young out of Texas A&M. And then bronze, I got Alexis Holmes from Kentucky.
Okay, we agree on bronze. I have Alexis Holmes coming in third. No respect for Stacey Ann, will you, blasphemer? What is she gonna come in fourth? Is she just gonna fall off the face of the earth? Like the drop you're thinking for Talitha Diggs to win, she's coming in with 51:22. She has to drop at least half a second to even come close to the PRs and even the seed times of the top two. So I have Alexis Holmes coming in third, Stacey Ann Williams coming in second, and Cherokee Young out of Texas A&M and Jamaica coming in first.
Look, man, this is why Talitha Diggs went in. One, she's from PA, and PA don't play.
Oh, brother. Here we go.
Number two, who won the national championship indoors?
She did.
Talitha Diggs. And number three, she's coming in as one of the most versatile sprinters on the long sprinting side. She's fast in the two, she's fast in the four, she's done the 100. She came in third at SECs in the 200. Like, she's a very versatile sprinter. And so that's why I got her doubling it up, being able to win. Cherokee Young, she's coming in as the favorite, and she does have that 800 meter strength that she did in her freshman year. But I'm just seeing Diggs going back, going and being able to win this thing. I think she has the talent and desire to do it. She's coming from a professional running family. She knows what it takes to win. Her mom's been an Olympian, so you think
the strength of her ancestors is going to flow?
Yes.
I actually have her coming in fourth. I think it's actually going to be a very tight race. So I can see how I think she is going to make the drop you're saying. I just think the gap between them is too big. She's going to close that gap afterwards. But her coming through with the dub, and oh, man, because it's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a race. So it's not like indoors where you can, like you said, she has that great 200 meter speed, but this is outdoor track and field. You don't get to cut anybody off and have them running behind you. Everybody's in their own lane. So I think that is going to hurt her just slightly. But I definitely think she'll make a drop. Coach Holloway knows exactly what he's doing. But I just have these other three ahead of her. So for the women's 100 meter hurdles, I actually have Demetria Roswell coming through for gold. I think Aaliyah Armstrong is actually going to get third in this race. I have Akiran Nugent coming in second. And so the reason I picked Demetria is because she has a PR of 12:33. She's performed her best this season. And, oftentimes the times from prelims can be deceiving because a lot of the top athletes will run below their true ability just to conserve energy. And so I think Aaliyah did the same as well. I just think Demetria is going to have a special race, a special NCAAs, and come through with the victory.
Yeah, I got So I have Aaliyah Armstrong coming in first. She had an easy win at SECs. She's the best talent in this pool since Grace Stark isn't there. The one issue that I do have though is, you know, will she get in her own way? Similar to the, she had a false start in indoors. She fell over a hurdle at indoor SECs. Like, so we've seen there has been a time where, you know, she's kind of gotten in her own way at times. She did go clean over the hurdles in SECs. So she is kind of turning over a new leaf here. So I do think that that's looking good for her. Second, I have Masai Russell. She came in second in indoors last year, in the 60. And so she has been getting that speed, the speed instead of just doing the 400 hurdles, which she has been so good at. And then I have Demisha Roswell, you know, of Texas Tech, coming in at third. She's the third overall seed. She ran a 12:44 at Big 12s. This is her first NCAA championship outdoors. So, you know, things can get a little dicey. You don't know how you're going to perform. Will you over? Will you under? Will you perform just as expected? You're not sure. But I those are who I have coming in three. I do see, like, there's going to be a lot of talent. And like you said, it's a hurdle race. Anything can happen. But I feel there's no way Aaliyah Armstrong can't get a win here. Like, she absolutely needs to, you know, for herself.
No, she needs to. I just don't think it's gonna come together. I know she is the dominant talent, but it's almost like, if I could make a comparison, it's almost like a James Harden effect, you know, where, you know, she has all this talent, but it's about putting it together at the right time. And so I think she does have the makeup to do that. I just don't know if it is gonna happen this time.
Well, now, since the Sixers have James Harden, we need him to win. So I'm going to disregard everything you just said, because I do not
Houston,
like
it. Houston gave y'all a gift right there. Enjoy that gift. I got the Rockets stuff right up there. So
that must be the Houston treatment. Y'all like to drop batons and not win championships. So.
Oh, brother. And then bang on trash cans. Let me stop. You can roast Houston for
Get y'all straight. Stuff together. What's up with Houston? 400 hurdles. So 400 hurdles, I have Britton Wilson coming home with the win, Anna Hall in second place, and then I think Masai Russell, she's gonna get bronze there, being able to get medals in both the short and the long hurdles. Only Britton Wilson, she's not doing the 400, she's just doing the 400 hurdles. And so with that, when you see an athlete do a double at SECs and then only do one at national championships, I think that means you're doing something insane at the national championship. That's the only reason, because you haven't won a national title yet individually, and you're giving up your chance to win two. That means, you know, you're doing something crazy in one. Anna Hall, only concern is that you're doing a million events, but she's one of the best athletes we have in college athletics. So I think she's going to figure it out. And Masai Russell, this is her original event. She can get things done. I feel she'll come out in third.
Yeah, I literally have the same list. No one else in the field is really even close to these guys. You know, just going off seed times, it's almost 0.6 of a second between Masai Russell and Lauren Hoffman. So really, these three are going to be out in front. I think Britton Wilson wins somewhat comfortably. And I think it'll be a race between Masai and Anna. So I think that's going to be, you know, the spots to look out for, second and third. And I think Britton Wilson, like you said, is going to drop something crazy. We'll see.
Sub 53?
I'm not sure. That's what I was about to say. I don't know if it's going to be sub 53, but you know what? I'm going to go there. She'll go 52.9. She'll go 52.9. Yeah, she'll be
coming. I like that. I like that. And yeah, like with Anna, like I said, like, she's doing a million things. She's very, very new to the event. This is only her like fourth 400 hurdle race that she's going to be doing. She's pulling like a Sean Burrell, where he only did one. Like, that was his first time ever doing it. So I think, exactly. But I think since she's fresh to it, it's going to be an opportunity for her to do really well, even though she's going to already have that heptathlon on her legs from a couple days earlier.
Yep. So, cool, awesome. Cool.
4x1, what do you got?
All right, let's bring it on out. UT, baby, coming in first. I mean, look at this list of athletes. Julian Alfred. Adelikele. You see, I got my African tongue in there. Kavana Davis and Cammy Fannell. I think they're going to win pretty comfortably. They have a PR this season of 42-37. Set at LSU, not even set at their home meet at Texas Relays. And so I have them coming in first. I have Oregon coming in second. I think they have a very strong pool of ladies. You know, Jaden Mays, Kemba Nelson, Jasmine Reed, Jasmine Montgomery. And so all of those sprinters, they're going to be, like you said, sitting at home in their own bed, chilling. They don't have to travel or do anything. I think they're going to have a strong performance, but I think Texas will just edge them out. And then I have Kentucky coming in third.
All right, not too bad. Number one, I got Texas. You know, you got the national record holder in the 60, number two in the 100, and you know, their sprint team has been crazy the last few weeks. Number two, I'm going with Kentucky, and then number three, I'm going with LSU. It's going to be a battle on that back stretch because we're seeing Favor Ofili and Abby Steiner are going to be on that back stretch again, and I think, like I said, I think Ofili is going to be having the wins here. So I think Abby's going to be like, nah. I'm not going to let you get all of this all over me. I'm going to take my team home to the win. And so I got them battling it out for second and third there.
Okay. Not mad at it at all. So Oregon, so I guess, do you have Oregon coming in fourth then on your list?
Yeah, I got Oregon four. I think they're going to be close. The reason I have those Kentucky and LSU is because they see each other all the time. Like they've raced each other a lot. They don't really see Oregon. I know, like with track, you don't really need to compete against each other to kind of know what it's like. But I think it's going to come into effect, like because they'll be able to go off of cues of, hey, I'm this person's handoff is usually a little sketchy. They're really clean today, or the opposite. Like I think it'll be some little cues. You've run against each other, you know what it's like. That they'll be able to kind of take home. But that's who I kind of have going in there.
Four by four. All right, so this is, oh my goodness, literally all it takes is one bad handoff or a bad start and like the fourth place team to come in first. It is actually very tight in this 4x4, but I'm gonna stick with Kentucky. They have the best time in the field, a deep roster of runners. You know, right now they have listed Kabaya Davis, Megan Moss, DeJour Miles, and Alexis Holmes. We know if they need to stick Abby Steiner or Masai Russell on that thing, they can. And so I think Kentucky just has a wave of women that they can throw at this. And so I think whichever four they end up picking, they'll win. Then I have Arkansas coming in second. Brendan Wilson, when she splits 48, man, you can never count them out. I think it's just going to be a crazy anchor leg. I could see something similar to Raven Rogers hawking down USC. Like, Brendan Wilson could just go ballistic. So, really, Arkansas is, like, the dark horse. And then I have Texas A&M. A&M always shows up. Cherokee Young. You know, they have Janai Martin, Javian Reed, Tierra Robinson-Jones. So, I think that quartet is going to be very strong to beat. I think Texas will come in fourth. They have a lot of strong runners as well. But I think just 400-wise, those three teams end them out.
So we're close with the first two. Or we got the same with the first two. I got Kentucky winning and Arkansas in second. I think that they're the two of the better teams here, you know, with 321, 322. I think they're, you know, what, Kentucky got the national record, right? Like, so they've got speed. Like, they're really fast, and if they don't even run Abby Steiner, then they're not even running a lady that was on that national record team. Third, I'm taking the team implications into effect. I think that this is going to be coming down to the 4x4, and so I have Florida running out of their mind to get third place, because I think it's going to come down to them, like Texas and Florida. I think that's who it's really going to be. And while Texas is the more talented team, I think that, dang, them Florida girls just got heart, man. Like they won indoors. Like I think that they're going to be able to be able to pull through and want to repeat and get that outdoor championship, because I feel Texas men have a really good chance at winning the team title over there. Ain't nobody want to see Texas bring it home. That's too many titles on the plane. They're not going to be able to fit all the hardware on there. So somebody else has to bring it home. Just not allowed. So I'm going Florida, even though they're coming in as a 4 second, 5 second underdog. I still think they're going to have a chance to be able to get a medal here.
I actually really do like that Florida pick, because we know 4x4s are really about heart and emotion. And if they can channel that, lookout man, because Coach Holloway, man, this, you're talking about one of the greatest coaches of all time. And his staff, they do an amazing job. So I would not be surprised at that. I just think that A&M is a little too strong for them. But like you said, if they're on a mission, oh my goodness, look out.
Yeah, Anna Hall is about to run so many, she's going to do the heptathlon.
They're going to have to bring her back on a stretcher. She's going to go back to Gainesville. Coach, I gave it all I had.
And she was going to try to do the 100 hurdles too, and she just barely missed that. Like, she like, when you have an athlete that can do that much, I'm not counting you out. And so I think that it's going to be close. Like, Texas A&M, like, I think they have the talent over them, but I feel Florida with the heart, it's going to come down to it. It'll be close.
Okay. What do you think the winning time will be? Will we see another national record, or
let's do
you think we'll see a 320? Okay,
yeah, 321. I don't think we'll see 320. Well, 321 flat, 0-0 on the mark.
I'll go 320. I'll go 320. I don't know if Kentucky will do it. If 320 happens, it might not actually be Kentucky. It might be Arkansas with Britton Wilson. I still think Kentucky will win, but if 320 gets run, it will be Arkansas.
If Britton Wilson is in the top three when she gets the baton and the anchor, then Arkansas is winning. Like, everyone has to bank that Britton Wilson is in, like, fourth, or is, like, 4 meters behind. Because
not
if
even
she
four,
is with,
20.
Yeah, because if she is in that front pack, I don't think anyone can beat her. Like, with what she's not doing enough. Like, she's going to be fresh. And she's gonna come off of a crazy 4x4 time or 400 hurdles time, so she's gonna be putting up something wild, I think.
So, hey man, that was a great session. I think we had some interesting picks. I definitely think the women's 100 is going to be absolutely crazy. I cannot wait for it.
I think that's the event to watch. Like, looking at it, that I feel like the women's 100 is the best event we're going to see on the sprinting side. It's the most wide open, I feel. Mm-hmm. Like, there's six, I think there's like legitimately six athletes that could win that race. Like, they all have a very good reason why I could be the champion, where you don't have that with many other events. I don't think there's six athletes in any other event that can really get a win.
No, 200, not enough. 400, not really. Even on the men's side, you know, for the 100, it's Makai. For the 200, it's Joseph. For the 400, you know, it's Randolph Ross. So this women's 100 has the most parity.
Yeah, it's going to be the best one. So definitely look out for that. But thank you so much, Matt, for doing this again. It has been awesome. Chatting track, talking sprints. We'll see how good our picks are. Call it now. Do you think out of the medalists that you have, you're going to go above or below 50%?
I have to say above. I love my picks, man. Even if we end up not, of course I'm going to say above. Come on.
All right. Well, good luck with that, because I have been under 50%. I had 50% at Prefontaine. I was so excited. So if you got that, you're a better picker than me. Well, I guess that's the entire point of the freaking game, right? Matt, where can people go to get more content from you?
You guys can follow me on IG at MJPTV0. Give me a subscribe on YouTube, MJPTV. IG, we're getting close to 2,000, so we'd love to have you guys join us over there. On YouTube, we're getting close to 4,000. So we're almost at 6,000 combined followers, so it's been a really good year for us.
Sheesh. Y'all growing like that. Thank you so much for listening to this segment. Up next is the jumps. So you're going to hear all the stuff based off of what's going on with the jumps. So hope you guys enjoy that. Have a good one. Peace.